Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. Thanks for calling in. How you doing?
Gentlemen, I'm well. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. PK, we had Mike Herndon on yesterday from your site, and we went through all the moves in free agency, and he talked about how he's not convinced that the Titans are necessarily a better team at this point. What do you make of the moves that have been made, the holes still left to fill, and the quality of this roster right now based on this past week in free agency?
Well, they're a faster team, that's for sure. I mean, you know, it's along the lines of what should have been expected. You know, guys who maybe haven't had full opportunities based on where they were, but look like they have upside. You know, getting here with more opportunity to play on shorter, cheaper contracts. You know, if the hit rate is good, if Mike Vrabel and his staff are able to coach these guys up, you know, they could be in a good place. But, you know, it can't be a certainty everywhere. You know, Dillard looks like a good gamble, if you will. You know, has upside, has pedigree and all of that. Hasn't been a great run blocker, doesn't have a lot of experience, all of that. So he's not going to be Taylor Lewan, but he's not going to be Dennis Daly either. And you know, where he is on the spectrum in terms of how good he might be is really a long way from being determined, not just for us, but for them. And I think that's going to be how it is heading into the season in a lot of ways at a lot of these spots.
PK, how do you view backup quarterback at this point with Dobbs, you know, signing with the Browns? What do you think how do you think the Titans view it? Do you look at that as lack of interest on their part, maybe just lack of interest on his part? And what do you think the next move is there for the Titans?
Well, I'm trying to open a page that's not being cooperative right now with free agents. But, you know, I mean, if all things were equal for Dobbs, which job would be better? The guy in front of him is probably weaker in terms of injury possibility and everything, excuse me, with Tannehill as opposed to Watson. But the guy behind him, quote unquote, Kellen Mond versus Malik Willis, I think maybe presuming the Titans would have been interested, you know, there's no guarantee that he beats Willis, though, you know, a lot of us are down on Willis and the way they acted with Willis last year when Dobbs came in and got in front of him relatively easily tells us that there would have been opportunity for him to get in front of Willis. But in Cleveland, Kellen Mond does not, you know, have that kind of potential future in front of him. You know, they need another quarterback for the off season and for camp, and I don't know who that's going to be. And this team has a recent history of being very nonchalant about backup quarterback, and I sure hope they're not just in a position where it's going to be Malik with a non-competitor in place, because I don't have that level of faith in him, and I don't think they should by any means. And I'd be surprised if they do, frankly.
Paul Kuharski with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. PK, what do you make of the corner room? You're bringing in Sean Murphy Bunting if you're the Titans, and, you know, Christian Fulton obviously has had his injury issues. Elijah Molden basically missed all of last year with injury issues. How do you feel about where they are at corner right now with Sean Murphy Bunting coming in?
Still need depth, but Sean Murphy Bunting maybe physically is a little bit of the Caleb Farley mold. Another guy, like I said, you know, who wasn't always at the front of the line for the Bucks, so should have more opportunity here. You put him opposite Fulton, with McCreary. This is in a fully healthy situation, which we know odds are low, but put those two guys outside, put McCreary inside. You know, Molden is situational. Everybody else is situational. And then Hooker can play safety, you would hope, instead of needing to come down and play nickel. And, you know, I wrote, I think the frontline defense is pretty filled in if Monty Rice and Azeez Alshire. I had Alshire for a long time in the Fanatics, and now the Titans put out Alshire, so I got to get used to that. If the two of them could play side by side and they're comfortable with that, which needs to be sorted out. But I think, you know, 1 through 11 and 12 there with nickel, you know, they look okay on paper defensively. Now, they certainly need depth and they could get better. But I think that the big needs now are and they could still use a premier corner, certainly. But I think the defense is set up now to get back to rushing the passer with four and hurrying the quarterback. And as long as he's on a quick clock, things could be okay on defense. And the big questions now are on offense where, you know, they've still got a lot of work to do.
But I do want to go back to defense and, you know, the safety position, which already – lacking depth, like you said, Hooker, you know, go back to safety, stay healthy. That's a big key. But obviously this Kevin Byard situation, Paul, and I know you wrote about it at paulkarhuski.com, but what's your view of how this unfolded? Where do you think it goes?
I mean, it's not that big a deal to go to a high payroll guy and ask him to take less money. And it's not that big a deal for him to say no, if it ends there. And I would hope that it would end there. They're not going to cut him. I mean, you save 16, it costs you 13, and you get nothing back for a guy who's one of your very best players would make no sense. You know, haven't heard anything pick up from there in terms of trade possibilities. I think it'd be silly. Look, I don't know. Still, and I know it's a big debate and a lot of it's semantics to what degree they're rebuilding, but even if you're rebuilding, and look, they're based on the roster holes they have, they're rebuilding to some degree, but you need tent pole guys, even if you're rebuilding, and Kevin Byard's an ideal tent pole guy. He's still playing very well. So I expect him here. You know, and one of the reasons that, you know, I wrote this, one of the reasons his cap number is so big and such a burden is because they restructured him twice, which is not his fault at all. It's John Robinson's fault. They got to stop doing this. And one of the solutions to them getting some money now, you know, they need to do extensions instead of restructures. They could restructure Harold Landry. But I think they'd be better off with extending Tannehill. They've got to address the quarterback position. I don't think there's a good alternative for them at quarterback. I don't think there's a market for Tannehill anymore. And, you know, you could even extend Byard after all of this. But, you know, safety, they need depth, which we need to see. And the Hooker contract, you know, it's hard to judge it after 1 year. But after 1 year, it doesn't look very good.
PK, what'd you make of Dennis Daly signing with the Arizona Cardinals yesterday?
Well, I thought it was funny that the picture they used was him in a Carolina uniform.
Yes.
So they pretended that he didn't play in Tennessee. It doesn't – look, I like Monty Austin Ford. It's not like I know him particularly well. But I don't understand how he could choose to sign Daly. People are now putting too much like, oh, he's the guy who picked Dennis Daly for the Titans. John Robinson picked everybody for the Titans when he was here. He didn't hand off anything. And no general manager, you know, maybe a late-round draft pick, but still, the general manager is ultimately signing off on every move. So John Robinson signed off on Dennis Daly. The buck stopped with him. But I don't see how you could look at what he did last year and choose to bring him aboard on your team and think he's fixable. They must have one hell of an offensive line coach out there. And don't get carried away with the second year. I mean, until you see the structure of the money, I'm sure it's a one-year deal. It has a second year tied into it that is pretty meaningless. But nevertheless, a one-year deal is 1 year too long.
I mean, you tweeted really bad look for Monty Osifor, like he was like serving beer at a kid's birthday party or something.
I can't pretend to watch, you know, everybody in the league, but we all know it would have been hard for there to have been a worse offensive lineman playing on a week-to-week basis than Dennis Daly. So you're bringing on a rehabilitation project, which teams do, but, some guys would appear to be beyond rehabilitation. And from a Titans perspective, certainly Dennis Daly would appear to be one of those. Wouldn't you agree, Joseph?
He's not very good.
He's not very good.
Maybe he's a right tackle.
We'll see. Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. PK, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good day, guys.
That's you as well. Paul Kaharsky with us here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. Are your brackets busted? Well, sign up and play the official 16-team Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and the Bluffs at Rocky Ridge. Enjoy the biggest and best views in the Nashville area from your dream acreage home site. Call now at 866-GET-LAND. Once again, that's 866-GET-LAND. You can go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app for your chance to pick your teams and a chance to win tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, April 15th. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Come see Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace live, followed by Stillman & Company tomorrow at Central Barbecue in Hillsboro Village. You can come by for some great Memphis-style barbecue and catch your favorite teams compete in the tournament. Again, that's Central Barbecue in Hillsboro Village coming up tomorrow. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Grant from Dixon. Grant, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Good morning. A couple things. One, I was wanting your opinion on why we haven't re-signed Austin Hooper. He was our go-to guy in the short yardage situations. And two, why we haven't signed a free agent receiver like Hardeman or OBJ.
Hey, thanks for the call, Grant. The Hooper part of this is interesting, Joe. As we talked about yesterday, he apparently has visited the Raiders. Now, I've not seen a deal that's actually come through there, so we'll see what happens on the Hooper front. But, you know, the tight end part of this, you've got Chig Okonkwo, who, look, I think it's important for him this offseason to be able to play in all situations. I know we spent a lot of time, you know, taking calls and texts last year, deservedly so, of people yelling about Chig Okonkwo not being on the field more, getting the ball more. And maybe some of that was on Todd Downing. Maybe some of that's on Vrabel. But some of that, you know, you would have to think is also on him. Like, he's got to get himself in a position where they're comfortable putting him out there on the field in every situation. And that's what Tim Kelly talked about at the Combine of, you know, having guys out there that can play in all situations and not being predictable in terms of, oh, so-and-so's out there, that means they're running the ball. Or, oh, so-and-so's out there, that means they're passing the ball. You don't want to have that if you're the Titans. But, you know, Okonkwo is going to be on the team, and I feel good about the ball being in Okonkwo's hands. Beyond that, we've talked about the Swain part of this. Does he come back? But Hooper, I'm really interested to see whether it's here or elsewhere what that deal looks like for him. I can't imagine it being much different than last year. Matter of fact, I could see a scenario where it's less than it was last year. But I'm interested to see what that looks like for Hooper, be that here or be that with the Raiders or elsewhere.
Yeah, so what is it, year for six, right? Year for six last year. I could see like a year for four or something. You're a year older. You know, your production has certainly leveled off from when, you know, from your time in Atlanta, which made you a lot more attractive on the market. So I could see that. And we, as we've talked about, you know, so here's the thing again, we talked about with PK Joshua Dobbs. So, and I think he analyzed it well. If you're Dobbs, you know that there's a rookie who was drafted here in the third round. Now, you know that you were clearly and immediately better than him, but you also know that the team invested in him. It's likely that he's going to get every opportunity. He's going to get reps, right?
Yeah.
So if you're Dobbs looking at that situation, I mean, I don't know what the Titans' interest level was, but I could see it from Dobbs' perspective of, like PK said, I mean, over there, Kellen Mond, I mean, he's barely hanging on the league. He's already kind of demonstrated when people were like, oh, he's going to overtake Kirk Cousins. That was a good take. I'm sure Jared had that take. that was an unnecessary shot.
That was.
But that's you're fine for being QB2 there. Here, I mean, it's, you know, it's still like he could, Malik Willis could make big gains. And if he does, then, you know, the investment in him kind of dictates that, you know, that he would get more opportunity. So I get it from his perspective, from the Austin Hooper's perspective to the caller's question. I mean, look, what's his interest level in coming back here in this offense? Yeah, it's 1 year. I mean, it's just 1 year he was here. It was a losing year, and it was a stodgy offense. He did find his place in it eventually, and he started to play more like I thought he would, because go back to spring and camp, and my gosh, was he a superstar.
Oh, yeah.
On the practice field. But I could see him, like, if I'm him and the Raiders have interest, you know, all things being equal, and the money's probably going to be, again, about a year, around $5 million or whatever, I could see the choice being the Raiders.
As far as the other part of Grant's call there, wide receiver, he brought up a guy in Hardman that we actually discussed a little bit earlier on the show. And, you know, PK talked about it. I mean, you could make the argument they've gotten faster with Murphy Bunting coming in there, and certainly with some of the other moves they made, Arden Key up front. You know, he's a quick guy and has got some you know, burst to him there, obviously, with what he did last year. But it's at wide receiver. Like, when you think speed, the first two positions I think of are at corner and are at wide receiver. And I do wonder, with a guy like Hardman out there and available, do the Titans take a flyer on a guy that they feel like can run? Does that come in the draft? Does that come in free agency? I mean, we went through the free agency list earlier. There's still a lot of guys out there and available, which I think is probably a commentary on the free agent market at wide receiver, and those guys are not getting the deals that they thought that they would get or hoped that they would get. And the longer free agency goes on, the more the money's going to come down on those guys. But Hardman's still out there and available. He's only 25. He ran a 4.3 40. We've seen him make big plays in Kansas City. You know, he's not Tyreek Hill, obviously, or anything like that, but he does have some speed to him. And as people have pointed out today, he can return punts too, which is something the Titans have got to figure out, be that Kyle Phillips or be that somebody else. I do wonder, could the Titans be in the market for a veteran wide receiver? Would Mecole Hardman be a fit for that? And, you know, how do the Titans feel about their room right now in terms of what Mike Herndon threw out there yesterday on our show? Are they really comfortable with NWI being the veteran guy in there, and that's really it for anybody who's played more than 14 games in a season?
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. With Hardman, you have some production, you have some demonstrated ability to play in the league, and you definitely have speed. So when you look at the list of people available, I probably like him as much as anybody out there. At least that gives you a jolt on the speed department. And NWI, like, you'd rather have a veteran who is also good,
right?
And, you know, who has done some good things, like Robert Woods was supposed to bring last year. As far as the veteran presence, I mean, I do think NWI is probably in that point where, I mean, obviously it's not like he's a highly accomplished NFL receiver, but he is a guy who has probably as much respect as anybody in the building, and that counts for something. It's just with this offense, with all the fixes that need to be done, that includes, you know, you want talent in there that makes it basically less necessary for him to be on the field as much as he was last year. All due respect. Coming up, our best friend,
yes,
NWI.
Friend of the show, NWI. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, 615-737-1025. I also got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Manchester Orchestra and Jimmy Eat World coming up at Ascend Amphitheater on July 28th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Manchester Orchestra and Jimmy Eat World at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on July 28th. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
This, we all have choices to make. This, like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Jared Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. You get your free estimate at JaredCompaniesInc.com. I am in the questions chair today. Two sports questions, two non-sports questions. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Would we like to begin with sports or non-sports?
Let's do sports this week.
Let's go with sports. And we'll just start with a bang here. We'll get people fired up right immediately. Which program wins a national title again first in college basketball, men's college basketball? Will it be Duke? Or will it be Kentucky? Who are you taking? Who wins another national title first, Duke or Kentucky?
Joe, go first.
I will go Kentucky. Mm. And I mean, look, it could be either very soon. It could be a while for both. But I mean, I'm going to base that on they have a coach who has won a national championship, and Duke. I think John Shire was good this year. They were a good team. I got to tell you, he switches to zone the other day, and Olivier Conwell blows it up again, and I think he stayed in it way too long, and I know that's one in-game coaching decision. But I'm just saying, I'm sitting next to our guy who covers Duke. I'm like, what is he doing? Like, you have to get out of this thing, and he didn't do it. And so, you know, I was not super impressed with that. I think he's a good coach. But John Calipari has won a national title. John Calipari has, I think, the best recruiting class in the nation coming in next year. You need more than that these days. But if Shibue comes back and with a good, a couple pickups in the portal, I mean, I think they are in better position right now to win it next year than what I know of Duke, who also has a huge class. But, yeah, I'll go Calipari. I'll go Cal.
So Joe immediately out on John Shire and has Kentucky winning the national title next year. Michelle, who wins a national title again first, Duke or Kentucky?
I'm going to go with Kentucky, and a lot of the same reasons that Joe listed out. You know, when you talk about coaching, and I know everybody can say, well, they haven't been since 2019, but Calipari has taken, I know some people forget, and they like to rip me on Cal. He has taken three different schools to the Final Four and won a national championship and has been successful in the postseason. So let's just recency biased. If you take a step back, I know when you're at Kentucky, it's very hard to take a step back if you're BBN. But I'm going to say Cal just based off that, the recruiting class coming in next year. I don't think Oscar will be back, even though I think he should be, and the transfer portal. So I'm going to go with Kentucky.
John on the text line says Kentucky as well, but has the caveat of if Cal leaves.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, nice.
Tell me who you're going to get.
I'm going Duke. I don't think that's a big surprise. I'll go with Duke to win the national title before Kentucky just because I don't trust Cal, and I've talked about that for a couple of years, so I don't need to go back down that rabbit hole. But I'll go with Duke winning the national title first. All right, switching to non-sports. The best movie that has horrendous acting in it, but you don't even care. You enjoy it anyway. A movie that has horrendous acting in it, but you enjoy it anyway. And I could start on this one because I was reminded of my answer last night. I'm coming down, getting ready to go to bed, and I walk in the room, and my wife has The Breakfast Club on. And I'm like, oh, look, it's The Breakfast Club. Awesome. Let's watch it. So we sit there, and we watch it, and I haven't seen it in a while. It's probably been a couple years at least since I watched it. And you just watch some of the acting and some of the dialogue and some of Emilio Estevez running around in a tank top doing front flips and dancing and all that stuff. And it's like, man, there are parts of this movie that are really, really bad and really, really difficult to watch. But yet, every time The Breakfast Club is on, I'll sit down and I'll watch it and I enjoy it. So The Breakfast Club is my answer. I enjoy the movie. Some of the acting is very bad, but I enjoy it anyway.
Joe?
That's interesting. Yeah, there's a very eight, you know, it is. You got to remember it was the 80s. So 85. Yeah, you're right there. Yeah. Now, you know, whoever played the principal, now that's Oscar level acting.
It was
in that movie. And by the way, I'm sure, Michelle, you haven't seen Breakfast Club.
I have seen Breakfast Club.
Oh, a breakthrough on the program.
What a wonderful surprise. Well, I'm very proud. My answer is going to be, I mean, it could be so many Ben Affleck movies. I mean, now the only one that wouldn't be, which is why it's probably a top five all-time movie for me, is Dazed and Confused, because he played a total dimwit jackass and he was perfect as O'Banion in that movie. It was a brilliant performance by him. But I will go with the movie Good Will Hunting. It's okay. A great movie. I've seen that movie too. Holy cow. We are on a roll today. I love that movie. And obviously those guys did it and really put Affleck and Damon on the map, really. But if you really watch it, and like Robin Williams is great, I mean, it's a fantastic writing, acting, everything. But if you really watch it, I mean, Affleck sucks because he's a terrible actor. Like, and he's even playing like a dude from Boston, which is what he is, and he's bad in that movie. But it doesn't matter because it's still a great movie. So, Good Will Hunting.
Michelle.
So mine is gonna be Office Space. No, I'm kidding. Oh, wow. I'm kidding,
you
Rex. I'm upset. Kidding.
I wish you knew. Too bad you don't know.
Yeah, I had
was.
To stop it. Because the acting was so bad. No, I'm kidding, Rex. I had to get Rex all fired up. Mine is going to be, and you guys might be surprised about this, my mom made me watch this movie actually when I first moved to Nashville, and I love it, but the acting is so bad, is About Last Night, I think, with Demi Moore Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Some of it's
Whoa,
good.
Another 80s
I
classic.
Know. Some of it's good, but then in other parts, and I can also add in St. Elmo's Fire, you just like kind of are watching it, and I'm like, ooh, that's really cringe.
Oh, yeah.
That was bad. But I still love the movies, even though the acting isn't the best. But it was the 80s, so it's okay.
Huffy on the text
we
line
got
says...
We two Brat Pack movies right there.
Oh, yeah. Huffy on the text line says Sharknado 1 through 4. Just big fans of the Sharknado movies. All right, back to sports. The most impressive individual performance you've ever seen live in sports. I'm not talking team. I'm not talking most impressive win. The most impressive individual performance that you've ever witnessed live in sports.
I think I can go first with this.
Okay.
Yeah, go
for it. So I don't have a specific game, but I'll go a specific player that I've seen play live. And I'm not just saying this because I went to Kentucky, but Oscar Tshiebwe. Some of the things that he has done the last 2 years in college basketball as far as rebounding, I've watched the guy get a double-double in the first half of a basketball game. He might not be a flashy player, a highlight reel type of guy, but just the ability to get 25 rebounds in one game, I mean, it is pretty incredible. So I'm going to go with Oscar for that one.
There we go. Joe Rexrode.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old. So, I know I'm forgetting something, but, I mean, I have to go. I mean, look, I've seen Usain Bolt, Michael Phelps, and Simone Biles win gold, and I'm going to go with Biles and what she did in Rio. I mean, I you know, to me, I've said this before, I think that gymnastics is by far the most difficult sport to perform. I know it's different from, like, team sports, but, like, you know, you could take – gymnasts and put them in a lot of different sports and they could at least, you know, do the sport, and you can take 99% of other top high level elite athletes in the world and they'd kill themselves trying to do what they do. So I got to go with Simone Biles, what she did. I think she's as a case as the greatest athlete in American history.
There we go. A couple of different ones come to mind for just performances that I've seen live. Like there's the unexpected performance, like Colton Sissons with a hat trick to send the Predators to Stanley Cup final is pretty unexpected. That one is up there for sure. You know, McDavid and Draisaitl, some of the things they've done against the Predators, like the night back in 2020 where I think they put up 8 goals and they had both had like 5 points or something like that. But I will say there was a game that the Red Wings played against the Predators, and Pavel Datsyuk I think he had I think he had 3 points in the game. I think he had like 2 goals and assist. But some of the things he did with the puck, I have never seen before or since. It's unbelievable. Like, I know Predators fans, if you've been around for a while, you hear the name Pavel Datsyuk, and like, you just start trembling with fear immediately because how much he just torched the Predators over the year. But that guy was unbelievable. I've never seen a player quite like him in terms of like doing the things that he could do, creativity with the puck. So I'll go Pavel Datsyuk.
That's a good call. He doesn't get enough credit for Red Wings fans, really, for what he was.
No, he's unbelievable. All right, last thing, non-sports. You can hand select any car in the world to be your car. You don't have to pay for it. What car are you choosing? Which car are you going with?
Joe's going with a Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah, he is.
Yes.
I'll go first for this one. I'm going to choose a red BMW convertible. Mm. Whenever I was a little kid, I loved convertibles. I thought they were so fun. I guess that would have to be with living somewhere warm as well. So that would be the combination. But I just love it. It's so fun. You get the top down. You feel like you're a main character when you are driving one of those. Not that I would know, but that is just what I'm going for. So I feel like it gives majorly like main character energy when you're driving that. So I'm going to go the red BMW convertible.
There we go. Joe?
Okay, so first of all, I'm not a great car person. Okay?
I'm not either.
But so I've had to Google exactly what it is. I knew it was a Lotus Esprit. It's actually a 1976 Lotus Esprit S1 Type 79.
Ooh, there we go.
Which is James Bond's car, and that is specifically from the movie Cannonball Run, which had Roger Moore in it. And first of all, it's an amazing car, but also like they were watching movies in it, and you had smoke screen and oil slick that you could use in the car. So I think it's a very easy call.
Very nicely done. My answer is incredibly boring, but I'm also dead serious with it. Just give me like a 2020 Dodge Ram. I'll be good. I need a truck. I drove one around a few weeks ago.
Nice.
I was like, good Lord, I need one of these. I don't have one. I need to go find one.
Be careful. Don't get a Jeep. They tip.
That's what I hear.
I'm glad you've finally woke. What?
Woke?
Woken up?
Yes.
Woke media? Awakened?
I got a texter going back to the best individual performance question. It says, too easy, Jalen Hyatt versus Alabama. That from a texter on the text line. Ben from Cumberland City says, Peyton Manning finally beating Brady in the RCA Dome to go to the Super Bowl. Best moment I've ever seen live. Brady owned us. This is from Ben from Cumberland City on the text line.
Are we sure that Jalen Hyatt was the best performance that day, or was it Hendon Hooker? He threw the 5 touchdowns to him.
He did. I'd probably still go Hyatt, but he did.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's some speed, speaking of the Titans.
6 catches, 5 touchdowns. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Preds, the Titans, college basketball, everything on the table up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun as well. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe, we brought up Lamar Jackson earlier, a report from Mike Florio yesterday that apparently a representative for Lamar Jackson that has not been approved by the NFLPA, I guess, is making some calls on his behalf, checking around the league and seeing if they can make a deal happen with a team that is not the Ravens. Also, according to Florio, this representative saying that Lamar is ready to move on from the Baltimore Ravens. So nothing has happened on that front yet. Obviously, no deal signed with the Ravens either. How do you see all this playing out, given the fact that the Ravens do have the chance to match his offer? If some other team decides to sign him, you got to pay him and give 2 first-round picks to Baltimore in addition to that. How do you see this all playing out at the end of the day with Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, given the fact that the Ravens still have control in this situation, but it does feel like that relationship is pretty badly damaged at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think best case scenario is that they repair the relationship. I think he, you know, fits with them. I think if they support him more and give him more help, and of course, if he can stay healthy, I think that can still be a contender. I mean, what he's done in the postseason right now doesn't, mean he can't win more postseason games. And when he came into Nashville, and really the Titans were playing an incredible game defensively, and he flipped the game and won it because of one play, really. But that's an example of what he can do in the postseason. And I just don't think he's going to get anything close. I mean, we don't have confirmation that that's not Heidi from Dixon.
We don't.
Who is serving on his behalf as the unverified agent. But, I mean, what a weird story. And just it just reeks of desperation. And I understand, you know, Florio sometimes has some reports that end up a little bit, in retrospect, maybe not quite accurate. But, I mean, I'm going to believe this one. Think how weird. I mean, just hire an agent and have your agent talk to the team so you don't get mad at the team, and understand that the Deshaun Watson deal was just a terribly stupid deal, and like nothing should be based on it. The only thing that should be based on the Deshaun Watson deal is that we all agree that it was just a terrible, terrible move by Jimmy Haslam and the Cleveland Browns. And if you can look at it that way, Lamar Jackson should, you know, they should be able to mend the fence and have some great years together and potentially contend for a championship at some point.
I
don't know if it's going to turn out that way.
I just can't understand the agent thing. Like, even if your approach at first is, I don't want to hire an agent, I don't want to pay any percentage of my contract to the agent, I feel like I can negotiate this deal on my own. Well, that's fine. Like, we've seen players try to do that. Some have done it. Some have been unsuccessful at trying to do that. But, like, when it gets to this point, and it's been going on for this long, like, don't you at some point, if you're Lamar Jackson, look around and say, you know what, maybe I do need an agent. Maybe I do need some help with this process. Now, I mean, he's not done it yet, so my guess is he's just not going to do it. But, I mean, that's the part of it I don't understand. Like, even if your approach at first was, I don't want to hire an agent, how have we not gotten to that point a year and a half, 2 years into this?
If Lamar Jackson just went through his career, you know, signed an extension, stayed with the Ravens or whatever, okay, fine. I mean, you can do that without an agent. Right now, this situation, this is when an agent has way more value and is way more necessary, because agents know all the personnel people from all the teams. You don't. You don't know these people. I mean, they know who you are as a player, but like that's just conversations that can be had on his behalf. First of all, give him a sense of reality, you know. I mean, and that's what this kind of sounds like, is like, he's kind of realizing that he needs to, you know, have somebody else, you know, contact people. But I mean, just getting like a telemarketer to call the team, like, it's just weird, man.
Do we have confirmation?
Hire a freaking agent.
Do we have confirmation that Joe Rexroth is not one of Lamar Jackson's representatives calling around the rest of the league out there?
Joe, well, there's something you need to tell us?
Well, you know. I am not too busy these days, so I have free time on my hands, and with this microphone, I mean, I sound very official and, you know, and yeah, smart, so I can't confirm or deny.
I'm just saying, there's a chance that could happen out there. Joe, the Preds win last night. They take down Buffalo 7-3, 4 points from Luke Evangelista. Had 2 goals, 2 assists last night, tied the Predators franchise record for points in a period, tied Philip Forsberg, who did it a year ago, with 4 points in a period. And the Predators win 7-3 last night. You know, the playoff race hasn't changed all that much. Winnipeg wins last night. Calgary wins last night. They're still basically in the same spot they were before the game. But I got to say, Evangelista looks really good. Tomasino with a couple of points last night. Tommy Novak with a couple of points last night. Some of the young guys continuing to play really well. And Evangelista, I think, has been excellent so far.
Yeah, he's exciting. You've guaranteed he's a point-a-game player for the rest of his career. So I think Preds fans should be very excited about that, because I don't remember you ever being wrong about anything. So
yes.
But in all seriousness, he is exciting. And, hey, I don't know. It's like every result, you know, the last one is like, okay, it's time to just let's get realistic. And obviously the Sabres are absolutely circling the drain right now. But still. These guys are playing hard, and they got some skill, and it's going to be fun to watch them moving forward.
It's going to be fun to watch them. Got Seattle coming up the next couple of games. They'll have the Kraken tomorrow, with Ellie Tolvanen coming back, and then on Saturday with the Pecorine statue being unveiled as well at Bridgestone Arena. Looking forward to that coming up this weekend, and we'll see if the Preds and their young guys can keep things going. Ryan McDonough back in the lineup last night, so good to see him back out there. He played just over 17 minutes, had a goal of his own, and an assist of his own as well. So good to see him. We'll see if any other Predators can get healthier as this weekend approaches and the Predators take on the Kraken. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back coming up tomorrow. We'll have Predators head coach John Hines. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports tomorrow as well for his weekly visit. Joe, have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow. Jason Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.